this is totally not Danzig, and you're listening to the Shred Shack.
Greetings, folks. I'm Dan Mack.
And this is Chris Mack.
Welcome to episode 201 of the Shred Shack podcast, your premier source of news and uninformed yet heavily biased opinions pertaining to all things heavy metal, coming to you bi-weekly through practically any streaming service, as well as airing from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday nights on Overkill Radio. Let's get started with Previously On.
Oh, we don't really have much for anything for Previously On. The last episode we did, we had Sean on, which was very fun. We really didn't keep track of anything that we needed to follow up on after that. So, I think one thing that we're going to need to do for the next episode is, I know it came out, but I haven't listened to it yet, is the next single from the new Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah, I actually was going to listen to that today because my album of the day today is Hail to the King. So when I went to go search for it, I saw the track and I was like, do I want to listen to it? Fuck no.
All I know, like some of the vibes I've been getting on like some reviews of it is like it's weird. So if it's anything like their previous single, it may not be that great.
Yeah, I don't know if weird is good or weird is bad in this case, so.
For sure.
Yeah. But we shall find out in time, so we'll consider that a Previously On.
Yeah, I'll write that in right now into the notes.
Otherwise, do we have any old business?
Nope.
Okay, so let's go on to new business. And with new business, we talk about new album releases, of which I'm still kind of just trudging along for the past few months.
Gotcha. And of course, I have a list. So let's get right. This segment might just be called "All Right There, Dan, I Got a List."
Yeah, pretty much.
So let's get right into it. Again, we're going to do the thumbs up, thumbs down, a little bit of notes if I wrote down anything. Chrome Waves, Earth Will Shed Its Skin. It's a little bit of atmospheric black death metal. Thumbs up. Crown the Empire, Dogma, modern metal core. Very mid on this one. Not great, not terrible. So very. Elven King, Reader of the Runes, Rapture, power metal. So that's a thumbs up. All right. So this is the first. There's two bands called Enforced. Oh no. Okay, I see the difference. Okay, so this is Enforced. Later on, we'll talk about a band called Enforcer.
Yes. So,
yeah. All right. So this is Enforced. The album's called War Remains, and this is very much reminiscent of Slayer. So that got double thumbs up for me. Fires in the Distance, Air Not Meant for Us. Didn't write any notes down, but that was a thumbs up. The next few are just thumbs up. I didn't really write anything down, just thumbs up or whatever. Lunar Chamber, Shambolic Vibrations is a thumbs up. We had mentioned this band on the previous podcast, Spotlights. Their album had just recently released the day we recorded. Alchemy for the Dead, that was actually a double thumbs up. That was really good.
Cool.
Sleep Sculptor. Divine Recalibration is a thumbs up. Ignea, Dreams of Lands Unseen was a double thumbs up. Blood Ceremony, a band I've been jockeying for a while now, probably since we did a top three back in like 2016 Their newest record, The Old Ways Remain, double thumbs up. Burning Witches, The Dark Tower, some classic heavy metal, that's a thumbs up. Enforcer now, which is a totally different band, but still reminiscent of a long time gone. Sorry, classic 80s heavy metal nostalgia is definitely the appropriate title for this particular album. This is a thumbs up. Dave Lombardo's solo project, Rites of Percussion, was a thumbs up. Very interesting ways of using percussion in that release. That was very fun. Galactic Empire, please, special edition, Star Wars heavy metal is a double thumbs up right here.
Yeah.
Nightmare, Deformity Adrift was a thumbs up. Unearth, The Wretched, The Ruinous is a double thumbs up. That was actually really good. Then Through the Sea, Woven in Ashes was a thumbs up. And Drain, which is a hardcore band, their album is called Living Proof, and they were a thumbs up.
Okay. Okay. Sounds good.
Yeah, it was a good, it was a good release. It was a good release list. And let's see. I'm gonna pull up what I got on queue for this week that just happened. Mm-hmm. And we got two new releases from the Acacia Strain. They released two albums back to back, kind of similar to like Use Your Illusions. So that's going to be pretty cool. Cow Decapitation's new record came out. A band called The Dark Side of the Moon has an album out. Gone Mage, Veil of Maya has a new one out that sounds pretty good. Ascended Dead. Devil Driver has a new one out, and that's the list I got going on for 5/12.
Okay. I'm just going to throw out what I got as a thumbs up and then what I got as a mixed. So thumbs up, albums from Stoner, Boogie Dabaya, La Baja, Black 29, The Waiting, Earth Groans, Tongue Tied EP, Enslaved, Heimdall.
Yes, sir.
Entheos, Time Will Take Us All.
Yep.
Fake Names, Expendable. Hawken, mm-hmm. Fauna. That was a great record. It was two thumbs up.
Yeah, that's a double thumbs up for sure.
Yeah, that one took me a moment. Like, it took a song or two, and then I was like, oh, dude, this is so cool.
Right, it was really good.
Yeah. Nuclear Holocaust, Sailing the Seas of Nuclear Waste. Red Light King, In Our Blood. Stortilege, Apocalypso. Stargazer, Life Will Never Be the Same. And Temptress, Sea.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What was mixed, Steel Panther, On the Prowl. I'm not a fan.
yeah, I hear you. I've never been a fan of their shtick, so
it's got some positives, of course, but I mean, for the most part, I'm not on board with them. Let's see. Then there was Lord Sunny the Unifier, America's New Hitmaker. That was a mixed. I think that one had some pretty rough vocals for me. It took me out of it. Stone's Jesus, Father Light. That one I just didn't sit well with me.
Wasn't a fan, huh?
No, not really. Mixed. It wasn't terrible, but like it didn't have enough redeeming qualities for me to say a thumbs up. So
no, I hear you for sure.
So yeah. What else have you been listening to?
Oh, you know, my normal podcasts, Doom Pod, 7mm, Awesome Danger Pod, Metal Sucks, throwing a couple chess podcasts in there, whatnot. 10 Word Review Bands. I'm trying to get through the next one. It's just taking me a minute to kind of get to it. Work has been a little crazy, so I've just been kind of like losing focus and just needing something to kill time on that I don't need to pay attention to, which leads to what else I've been listening to is, again, Metallica 72 Seasons. And the Prog Mind top 40 albums of 2022. I've just been going listening to that pretty constantly. I came across one that I really liked. Again, I listened to that one a few times this week, and that's the Charlotte Wessels solo record. I thought she did a great job. I really, really liked that one. The Introvert record is still one of my favorites. The band's called Retrospective. The album's called Introvert. That's still really doing it for me. The last Evergrey record that came out last year, that is so good. So that's been in there. And then sometimes I just throw it on shuffle and just let it go. So again, that's been a fucking comfort listen for me the last like 2 weeks.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. I can get behind that. As far as what I've been listening to, still my playlist, my one-off playlist. I've added a song or two to it, but that's pretty much what I've been going through, as well as the new releases. What else? The past week, because Lindsay's been gone, has been a little weird, so I haven't listened to too much music. But today I kind of broke out of it and started listening to some Avenged Sevenfold, just because, something had crossed my mind about them, and I was like, I want to listen to Hail to the King. You know, when I reviewed it that's what I did. I went through my written reviews, and I saw my review of Hail to the King, and Yeah, I gave it a decent level score last time, but I will say that it's probably like among my favorite ones of their records.
Okay.
Yeah, it's we've established it's pretty derivative. It sounds a lot like, you know, the bands that influenced them, to say the least. But I really enjoy the record. So yeah.
they definitely like, I think we talked about, like, they definitely wore their influences on their sleeve on that one for sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it worked in their favor. I mean, the stage was absolute balls.
Yeah.
And right now, thus far, this one's not looking up to be so good. So who knows? But I mean, you know, we could say that the Hail to the King was their last shining moment for me, at least.
Yeah, so, I hear you.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. So, you got anything else before we carry on?
No, let's get moving.
Okay. Just to make sure, we got to record. I got to put out the previous Tim Ward review, and I got to get ready for the next one. So,
but we have those recorded already, right?
Mm-hmm. I have to record my previous April one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the April one, and then edit it. It's pretty much ready to go. Just got to put that together. And then
Did I record my parts for May?
No, you didn't. We have to do
that. Okay, I just did two April ones together. Gotcha. Okay.
Yes, you did. Yeah. So we can do that sometime soon. So
okay.
I should have a little bit more momentary free time because of my work change coming up, which I'll probably discuss during Should I Want.
Gotcha. So,
but yeah. So that's to come. But yeah. Otherwise, let's carry on to some general news.
All right. So general news, we have no obituaries to report this week, unless you know something I don't.
No, I think we're good. I think we're okay.
All right. So let's get into general news here. And first, right off the bat, Rock and Roll Hall of Fame has officially announced this year's inductees: Rage Against the Machine, Willie Nelson, Missy Elliott, Kate Bush, George Michael, Sheryl Crow, and the Spinners will all be inducted during a ceremony held in Brooklyn on November 3rd. In addition, Chaka Khan, Al Kooper, and Bernie Taupin will be honored with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's Musical Excellence Award. Meanwhile, DJ Kool Herc and Link Ray will receive the Musical Influence Award. The late creator and host of Soul Train, Don Cornelius, is this year's recipient of the Emmett Ertegun Award, which honors non-performing industry professionals. The induction ceremony will be held at the Barclays Center. Details on the TV broadcast will be announced at a later date.
Right on. Do we want to talk about this, or
we can talk about it? We can talk a little bit about it. Okay. I think I didn't write it down what our predictions were, but I think we both agreed that Willie Nelson was going to get in there, and probably Kate Bush.
Mm-hmm.
George Michael's good. That's great. Sheryl Crow, I totally forgot she was even up for it. I didn't realize it was that long.
Mm-hmm.
Rage Against the Machine's a bit of a surprise, all things considered. The Spinners, I don't know anything about, so I can't really speak to that.
Yeah.
And then Missy Elliott, that's a good one, I think. Like,
yeah.
Again, people get all harpy about, like, the fucking, like, it's a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, what the fuck, rah, 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 rah. But, like, whatever, it doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, I mean, look at this whole thing. Look at this whole list. Willie Nelson, country. Missy Elliott, rap. Kate Bush, pop. George Michael, pop. Sheryl Crow, pop-ish. Spinners, maybe rock. I have no idea who they
like
are.
Like rock and roll, maybe, like back in the day.
And then Rage Against the Machine is like rap metal-ish.
Yeah.
So like, none of them are technically rock and roll. So if you're going to make that argument, then you want to kick out most of the group that just got in.
Yeah, but it's people who complain, like, well, why not? Like, because, like, I think Soundgarden and Iron Maiden were snubbed this year. It's like, all right, so those two bands, those two rock bands, are not going to get to a Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but we're going to put in Missy Elliott and fucking DJ Kool Herc or whatever the fuck, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So people get all up in arms about that sort of thing. I'm just happy that there's definitely some diversity here, between not just styles of music, but, like, you know, a little bit of representation of, like, you know, women and also like people of color is really pretty nice. So again, the old fucking butthurt people are just like, just chill the fuck out, guys. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, we gave you Willie Nelson. Calm down.
So, but that's really it. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if Rage Against the Machine actually shows up and they perform. That would be fucking cool. I would love to see fucking, Tom Morello get up there with Willie Nelson and jam out for a minute. It'd be cool to see fucking Sheryl Crow get up with Kate Bush and do Running Up a Hill. I mean, these are the sorts of things that can happen, you know?
Yeah.
That'd be pretty dope. You never know what's going to happen, so it'll be interesting to see what comes of the actual performances and all that good shit. So,
yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, I think, you know, as time goes on, I'm even less worried about who goes in and more like, okay, yeah, I'm glad they're getting recognition.
So, yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, let's carry on. Nothing really major there. No butthurtness here. So
yeah. Live Nation posted a record $3.1 billion in revenue, up 73% from last year in the first quarter of 2023. The ticket industry giant said in a press release that over 19 million people attended events across 45 countries in the first quarter. For the first time since the global pandemic began in 2020, all of Live Nation's markets are fully open.
Yeah. Getting those fees in there. What?
Making it rain.
Making it rain.
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I'm sure it goes a little bit more into it in the article, but I only copied and pasted, like, the you know, the headline here. But I'm sure it goes a little bit more into it later on in the article about what the operation costs for something like this are and what their actual profits are. I mean, this is $3.1 billion in revenue, but that doesn't take away cost.
Yeah.
So we don't know what the profit, I'm sure the profit's absolutely fucking astronomical.
Yeah.
But we're just talking revenue, and this is the first fucking quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we still got three quarters of a year to go, like, for these reports. And if that's just the first quarter, we haven't even hit the summer yet, and we know what the festival circuit's like.
Yeah, I'm gonna say that probably a significant contributor to that $3.1 billion is Taylor Swift.
Also, there's probably Taylor Swift. Well, actually, those tickets went for sale in 2022.
Oh, so yeah,
that might, and I was gonna say the Metallica shows too, but the thing is, those also went on sale in 2022. So I'm not sure if that would count in 2023 first quarter. So
gotcha, but
remember, music business is a business first.
Business.
So according to al.com or al.com, I'm not really sure what that means, Ted Nugent's concert in Birmingham, Alabama has been canceled due to backlash surrounding his controversial political views.
Yeah, so that sounds about right.
So I think the story goes is that he announced a tour. This is going to be his farewell tour. It's called Adios Mofos. All right. So, you know, right in line with how he portrays himself. Mm-hmm. And then, so the list of tour dates came out. So he hasn't even played shows yet. The list of tour dates came out. And then I think he was supposed to be playing like a brewery in Birmingham, Alabama. And the people in the community were like, no, fuck that guy. We don't want him in our town, blah, 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 blah. And the brewery is like, all right, well, we listened to our fucking patrons and, you know, we're going to cancel this show. And, you know, Ted Nugent, of course, being who he is, he got all butthurt about it. Like, blah, 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 my fucking personal freedoms, yada, yada, yada. And then he comes back and says, just recently, I didn't put it in here, but just recently he says, in place of this Alabama show, he found a place in Mississippi that's, quote, better paying.
Okay.
Yeah, so either way, it's whatever. It's fucking Ted Nugent.
Didn't realize it was about the money, Ted. Wow.
Yeah, right? Thought it was about freedom.
Yeah, I thought it was about freedom.
Anyway.
I don't know. It's always about money.
Like we just said, the music business is a business first.
Yeah, speaking of money, give us some. Just saying.
All right, Armored Saint's long-awaited documentary, Armored Saint Band of Brothers, will have its world premiere in the band's hometown on Tuesday, May 23rd at the Harmony Gold Theater in Hollywood, California.
Mm-hmm.
Director Russell Cherrington will attend to introduce the film and hold a question and answer session after the film with members of the group. Armored Saint Band of Brothers celebrates the 40-year career of Armored Saint and the 50-year friendship the band members have shared from school in El Sereno, which is a Los Angeles suburb.
Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. Dee Snider's planned performance at San Francisco Pride in June has been canceled after the Twisted Sister singer voiced his support of Paul Stanley's controversial statement criticizing gender-affirming healthcare for children.
Yeah, I'm not going to talk about that one.
Mm-hmm. Tom Petty. Tom Petty added doctor to his running list of accolades. The late musician was recognized by University of Florida with an honorary Doctor of Music degree, a distinction he dreamt of receiving throughout his lifetime. Bruce Petty, Tom Petty's brother, accepted the posthumous doctorate on his behalf at the university's spring commencement ceremony, which happened on Thursday, May 4th. Be with you.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's a shame they couldn't give it to him while he's alive, but...
Yeah. Ghost was honored in the Best Hard Rock Metal category this year's edition of the Swedish Grammys, which was held on May 3rd. The bands were nominated with their most recent releases, all of which came out during 2022, and here are the nominees. Amon Amarth, The Great Heathen Army, Arch Enemy Deceivers, The Halo Effect, Days of the Lost, Ghost Imperia, Waitain, The Agony and Ecstasy of Waitain. Ghost was also nominated in the Album of the Year and Artist of the Year categories, but failed to win those awards.
I mean, I guess because it's a different country or something. I just I didn't think highly enough of that Ghost album. So,
I mean, it also seems like most of these bands are of Swedish descent.
Mm-hmm.
So I think this is all specifically Swedish.
Yeah, I thought so.
Yeah. Next up, and this is a little bit of a bummer, the Agonists have officially called it quits after a nearly two-decade run.
Yeah.
On May 10th, the band released the following statement via social media. Dear friends, it's time to make a very difficult but necessary announcement. We have decided that the Agonists as a band has come to an end. Much deliberation and care has been put into making this decision, and unfortunately, given the circumstances, this is the conclusion that makes the most sense for the band and us as individuals. There are many factors that led to this decision. It is a mix of personal, financial, and industry-related issues, but in the end, the five of us are no longer able to agree on a way forward that would benefit the Agonist business as a whole while respecting each member's personal lives and wishes. The statement does go on to say that it was pretty, it's very... very amicable, because the statement goes on to list what each member of the band is going to be doing going forward. Vicky, the vocalist, she's going to be doing stuff with her other band, Sixth Sense. I think one of the guitarists has two projects going on. I think the drummer was working towards being a videographer. So everyone has something lined up. It seems to be very cool between everybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
It's just unfortunate that happened, because I actually really liked the Agonist even after Alyssa left and Vicky came in. I thought Vicky was great with them. So,
okay, yeah. I wasn't a big Agonist fan, but I can understand their presence, their power, their influence, just from what I've heard. So,
yeah. Last but not least, in general news, we got Sum 41 have announced plans to split up following the completion of a worldwide tour in support of their upcoming album, Heaven and Hell.
You need to catch them now.
Yep.
Yep.
And that's it for general news. Are you ready?
That's pretty light.
I mean, it's light. We'd have different sections that are a little bit heavier this week. General news is a little light. Recording news is okay. I think festival news got a kind of couple hits this week, because we're announcing some stuff for next year and a couple things for this year. So yeah, it's a mixed bag of stuff this week. Speaking of which, we're going to go right into So Let It Be Written. So Rare Bird Books has set a September 5th release date for Loco, Chaos, Calamity, and Cold Chamber. For the first volume of autobiographies from Des Ferrara, Fafara, is that it? Okay.
I think it's Fafara.
Fafara, all right. The California-born and raised everyman is now the singer and leader of the band Devil Driver, artist, manager, multiple brand owner, and motivational guru. Didn't know that, okay. In the period of time covered in Loco, though Des was just Bradley Fafara, a Hollywood club kid who escaped a lifetime wasted in both senses on the beach to become one of the 90s most vivid rock stars. So I think it's going to be a series of autobiographies, and this like is just the first part of it, leading up to like maybe the formation of Cold Chamber.
I guess so. Yeah, it sounds like it. And then I guess everything after that comes next.
Yeah. But that's it for So Let It Be Written. Only the one book coming out. That's very cool.
Okay.
All right. Next up, He's the One They Call Dr. Feel Not So Good, and Extreme canceled its appearance at the M3 Rock Festival that recently happened after guitarist Nuno Bettencourt sustained a leg injury of some kind while taking part in a Rockers versus Average Joe's basketball game aboard the Monsters of Rock cruise on Tuesday, May 2nd.
He got clipped by an Average Joe.
Oh, he got taken out.
He got laid out.
Yeah, so, I mean, goes to show you. You got to warm up. I hope he warmed up beforehand. I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, I guess instead of sitting down and playing, they decided just to cancel the shows, which is a bummer.
Yeah.
For anyone who had tickets for those.
Somebody taking out their aggression on Gary Cherone going over to Van Halen for an album. He's the wrong guy, asshole.
All right. No one's getting any better. No one's breaking the law. Good that men and women do, not so much. Metallica, you know, they're on break in between shows right now, so we'll talk about them when they get back on the road. Mm-hmm. We can talk a little bit about feuding, though. This is a little funny. Asked in a new interview with rockhistorymusic.com how he feels about Ground Funk Railroad celebrating the 50th anniversary of We're an American Band on tour this year. Mark Farmer, who is a founding member of Ground Funk Railroad, blasted his former bandmates, and this is as transcribed by Blabbermouth. He says, "You mean the Grand Fraud Tour? Ha 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 ha." Yeah. The Grand Faux Railroad? Ha 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 ha. It's too bad because it's really dishonest. As legal as it may be, it is completely dishonest to the fans, and the fans are taking a slap in the face, just like they are with that fake foreigner that's out there. There's not even an original member in that band, and they go out as foreigner without telling the prospective audience that there's no original members. But the audience, the fans, don't get the truth. They get screwed again. I think the fans have been screwed enough, man. Why not tell the truth and go out with this chest held high instead of hiding behind your dark glasses and trying to present a fraud? Wow. See,
here's the thing. We've talked so many times about the whole idea of legacy acts and going as brands and all that stuff, you know. But you also got to think about it, like, if it's not these national bands that are doing really successful in shows, it's the tribute bands. So even if they went out as a tribute band, they would still be successful. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I mean,
and,
for sure.
And people are probably still very much aware that, like, the members of Foreigner, like, they're probably not there. Or the members of Grand Funk Railroad are probably not there, so on and so forth.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, I think we'd also talked about this, too, is, like, you know, like, yeah, there's no members of Foreigner that are original members, but, like, this guy over here who's been in the band for 30 fucking years, you know? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
What about that guy who's contributed, who's been recording and performing with the band for 30 years? He can't say that he's Foreigner? I think that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I'm pretty sure that in a pretty significant way, like, Tommy Shaw is partially the face of Styx. He came in late.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As a matter of fact, the only person I really think of besides Dennis DeYoung is Tommy Shaw.
So. Yeah. So, yeah. But, you know, that's how these dudes feel. Whatever. That's their legacy.
The thing is,
they argue.
we're gonna talk about this in a little bit too when we get the Tory news, and you'll know what I'm talking about when we get there. So, so that's it for feuding. That we'll see how that goes. If anything, you know, that's just like one bitter guy talking about it. But I mean, I understand him being bitter because he's again not part of it. So, excuse me, nothing for Alcoholica or Hardwired merchandising, nothing. So I'm not sure if you want to just do our commercial break now or you want to wait until after a
recording. No, let's do recording and release news and then we'll do a commercial break.
Copy that. All right, let's get into studio news. Let's check this out. Body Count, the metal band fronted by hip-hop legend and actor and director Ice-T, has completed recording its new album, Merciless. The follow-up to 2020's Carnivore is tentatively due later this year via Century Media.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Here's one that's random as fuck. Keanu Reeves' 1990s and early 2000s grunge band Dogstar has reunited and is working on its first new music in over 23 years. Dogstar announced its return on Instagram last summer and has been posting regular updates on the progress of its recording sessions. Dogstar's upcoming release will be the band's first collection of new music since 2000's sophomore effort Happy Ending.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
I've never heard their stuff, but I'm curious now. So.
Yeah, I'm you know what? That's going to be a previously on right there, dude. Fucking, where are my notes at? All right, Mr. Cotter, I'm making notes. Dogstar. I'm going to look at these notes. Like, what the fuck is Dogstar? All right, next up, Anthrax's Scott Ian, Charlie Benanti, and Frank Bello have been in the studio with producer Jay Rustin, laying down basic tracks in preparation for singer Joey Belladonna to record his vocals and for lead guitarist Jonathan Donias to add his leads and solos. No title nor release date at this time, but this will be the band's long-awaited first new album since 2016's internationally critically acclaimed For All Kings.
God, it's really been that long.
Fucking A, dude. Fucking A.
Shit.
Withering Scorn, the new band featuring former Megadeth drummer Sean Drover and his brother and fellow ex-Megadeth member Glenn Drover, along with former Fates Warning bassist Joe DiBiase and German singer Henning Bassi, who has previously played with Firewind, Metalum, and Mayan, will release its debut album, Prophets of Demise, on July 7th via Frontiers Music's SRL.
That sounds pretty cool.
It does. It does. I love Sean Drover and Glenn Drover when they were in Megadeth. They were solid. Solid. Yeah. So, Corrosion of Conformity has confirmed the return of drummer Stanton Moore for its new album. The, quote, brutal-sounding follow-up to 2018's No Cross, No Crown is tentatively due in 2024.
Nice.
Hell yeah. Love me some Corrosion of Conformity. Nita Strauss will release her sophomore solo album, The Call of the Void, on July 7th via Sumerian Records.
Very nice.
As a surprise new release coming out, Queens of the Stone Age have announced their long-awaited eighth studio album, In Times New Roman, due on June 16th via Matador.
I want it just for the title, because Times New Roman is the font.
Right.
I will argue that. I will very much in a very nerdy way argue that.
I mean, that's the only font I've really ever used. So
yeah, if I get handed any sort of different font, I'm like, fuck you.
Times New Roman Arial, please get Arial. Get the fuck out of here.
Times New Roman size 12. Get out of here.
Yeah, for sure. All right, Killswitch Engage guitarist Adam D and the band's former singer Howard Jones have entered the studio to begin recording the debut album from the collaborative new project.
Sweet.
The last time that happened, we got a Times of Grace record. Then Howard Jones left Killswitch Engage and Jesse replaced him. So Adam D recording with Howard Jones. Does that mean Jesse leaves and Howard Jones replaces him again? I don't know.
I think Jesse Leach is doing too good right now.
Nah, the band is on fucking fire in all cylinders with Jesse Leach back in the band.
Yeah.
All right. Dolly Parton has joined forces with some of rock music's most legendary artists, along with today's biggest stars, for her first ever rock album, Rockstar. The ever-evolving Parton teamed up with an all-star roster of musicians for the 30-song collection, which includes 9 original tracks and 21 iconic rock anthems. It is set for global release on November 17th via Butterfly Records with distribution by Big Machine Label Group, and will be available as a 4-LP set, a 2-CD set, digital download, and on all streaming platforms. I have the track listing here. Are you
okay? Let's not do the entire track list. It's too many fucking tracks. Let's just kind of go through it and talk about certain ones.
Okay, so I'll try to pick out some. Oh, all right. First two off the bat, Every Breath You Take featuring Sting, and Open Arms with Steve Perry.
Yes.
Fucking A.
I love the fact that she's covering Magic Man by Heart.
With Ann Wilson.
With Ann Wilson, yes, absolutely. That's pretty exciting. I can't say I'm pleased about the Kid Rock thing. Get that fucker off of anything music.
Yeah, Baby, I Love Your Way with Peter Frampton.
I'm eh about that song. So Icarus, get out of the way, dude. I need to see this. Oh shit. What else?
Wrecking Ball with Miley Cyrus. That's cool because I believe Dolly Parton is her godmother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else was there? Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me with Elton John.
That's what I was looking at too.
Stairway to Heaven with Lizzo and Sasha Flute. We Are the Fucking Champions. That one's really sweet. Heartbreaker, Pat Benatar. Fucking love that track. That's gonna be a good one.
Yeah.
And then fucking Freebird. Like,
oh, I know. With Ronnie Van Zant and Gary Rossington, Artemis Pyle, and the Artemis Pyle Band. That sounds great. Oh, Let It Be. Oh my god. Let It Be featuring Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr with special guests Peter Frampton and Mick fucking Fleetwood. What is going on?
That's pretty wild. Yeah. That's
gonna be awesome.
I can get behind a lot of that.
Bygones featuring Rob Halford with special guests Nikki Sixx and John Five. Oof.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the Four Non Blondes song, What's Up?
Yes, with Linda Perry. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes. Not a crazy fan of that song, but I mean,
I love to see Dolly Parton do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And of course, I can't get no satisfaction.
Oh my God. Heart of Glass with Debbie Harry. Come on.
Yeah. So I can get behind a lot of those tracks. I'm pretty stoked for that.
Yeah. This sounds like it's going to be fun.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on here. Cryptopsy have officially signed with Nuclear Blast Records, one of the Canada's most ferocious bands, will release its first full-length album in over a decade later this year.
Ferocious.
Ferocious.
Ferocious. Yeah.
And last but not least, please. Yeah. Dude, I just did that like 30 minutes ago. Last but not least here, Deicide have completed recording their long-awaited new studio album. No release date yet.
Why are they calling it long-awaited? They just released an album like 4 months ago.
they are pretty prolific.
I guess, but I mean, like, don't say it's long-awaited. Like an album comes out a day later, they're like, oh man, I can't wait for a brand new Deicide album.
Well, that's how fast and how short the attention spans are nowadays, Dan. I mean, don't you get it?
I'm waiting for a new Metallica. Wait.
Wait.
Wait a second.
Wait, hold on.
That's all right.
All right, but that's it for studio news. No one's no live shit and no reissues as of yet.
All right. So that's where we're gonna call for a commercial break.
Woo!
Greetings, metalheads. Dan Mack here, and if you're a fan of putting a little heat on your meal, spice up your life with one of the many hot sauce flavors available from our sponsors at Hella Hot Hot Sauce. All natural, no preservative, and California-made, Hella Hot Hot Sauce provides small-batch artisan hot sauces made from fruit and pepper blends that emphasize aroma, taste, and of course, heat. With several flavors available, some seasonal, others year-round, and collaborations with members of Ghoul, Exhumed, Guar, and Hatebreed, there are plenty of options to suit your palate. Head over to hellahothotsauce.com and buy up a couple bottles now.
All right, so let's go on to a little extra. And normally we have crowdfunding tracker. I don't think we have anything that we're currently watching.
Nope.
So let's move on to Should I Want. I'll let you start.
I think right now the main thing I want to do is I want to use my time a little bit better. I think I've mentioned this before. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty set in the way I have things going on. I'm using my time as appropriately as I think I can. But there's little things I wish I could do a little bit differently. And one of them being adding a little bit more reading into my day, instead of scrolling on my phone and stuff like that. So I think that's something I need to work on. Because I'm still reading the same two books when we get to light reading. I'm still reading the same two books I've been reading for months. It's taking me fucking forever to finish these books. Mm. So I'm a little disappointed in myself with that one. Because I have so many things I want to read. And there's a new TV series that we're going to talk about a little bit that's also based on a book that I would love to read the books for, too. So I'm just like, ah! So,
yeah.
That I want to use my time a little better. And one thing I also wanted is there was a new piece of gym equipment that I wanted. It's called a belt squat. They started making these attachments that you put on your squat rack that you can do them, because usually these machines that they have at the gyms and stuff like that, they sell them. You can get them at home, but they cost like upwards of $1,000 or more. But I got this attachment for my squat rack for $70 off of Amazon, and it's going to be great. Like it just arrived today. I'm very happy to have it, to just add it to my repertoire of stuff I can do at home. So that's exciting.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So I want a couple of things. First, I can understand the idea of the time. Time management is something that's been eluding me for the last 3 months. Although I feel I can certainly use it more effectively. One of the things that I have been using my time for lately has been Coursera, which I don't know if I've talked about on the podcast or I've talked about to you personally before.
We've talked about it with Dad. Yeah.
So I finally started doing some classes on there. I know in the past I've talked about wanting to someday potentially go back to school for dietary sciences. And so what I've done thus far is take some classes that pertain to nutrition. I've been doing those. I got sidetracked by something. I've been doing those, and they've been, some of them have been pretty good. I'm in the middle of an intro to psych thing right now too, just to kind of refresh myself on psychology. But it's just, quick videos and whatnot of information, and a lot of the information I'm getting thus far is pretty straightforward, obvious stuff that, it takes a little bit more mindfulness and everything to approach certain things as far as cooking and consumption of food and whatnot. But it's all very interesting stuff, to say the least. So I'm finally getting into that realm of information, which is, something I've been wanting to look into for a while. I have, all these different books of information about different things like different conditions of the body as far as, potential for diabetes or things like that. Just out of general curiosity, it's kind of the same way that I kind of fell into psychology. I kind of fell into interest in this. Mm-hmm. So I finally started getting some steps into that. I wanted to just kind of be able to appropriate a good amount of time for that. It's very at your own pace. So like when they say there's a deadline, you can just keep pushing it back for a little while, which I don't want to do. I do want to try to stick to some of those deadlines, but that's kind of me again working on that personal time management. I'm gonna sum up that whole time management thing as well in a minute, but the second part of it is I've been having a lot of positive experience thus far with doing game streams. It's been a lot of fun, just getting back into playing games like I used to and everything like that, really getting to enjoy myself and essentially goofing off. So been interacting with a lot of people, making a lot of connections through that, networking, that also kind of doing Shred Shack stuff through that. As I mentioned to you, and as we may have kind of said in some capacity last time, eventually I want to start doing it so that when we record this podcast, we're streaming it over Twitch live. So if there's, we can get potentially interaction as we record, and it could potentially be a more interactive experience for a listener who is listening live. So I want to eventually bring that to be, but essentially I'm trying to take the channel to the next level, which requires more consistency and whatnot. So again, that's a matter of putting in the time and whatnot. And I realize I do not have an attention span worth a damn at this point, man. like the second I realize that my ass hurts from sitting on this chair, I'm like, fuck, I'm taken out of the game now. So like I only play for like an hour at a time. So.
Oh wow! Okay.
Yeah, I have a hard time because I'll sit there. I'll be playing. I was like, yeah, that was a good length of time. How long have I been playing? 5 fucking minutes. Okay. And then it's like, oh well, shit. That's it. But yeah, I've been like, otherwise I've been having a good time doing it thus far, which has been great. The main reason to be doing it is for the positive experience you get out of it.
Right. For sure.
And then, generally speaking, as I said, the time management aspect, I announced to my Facebook page, and I'm announcing here and now, that of my employers, I technically have two employers plus my own private self. I'm leaving one of my employers. They are the lower paying employer, and I feel that what I got from them, like I got a lot of good experience. I countered a lot of clients and everything like that. And, you know, it was good for its time, but I think in the long run, I need to start thinking a little bit more about getting clients from my primary employer, which was happening a lot after a while. Like I had to close off my availability for that employer prior to Sean coming because I was getting so many new clients. But it's so, the ebb and flow of that world is so dynamic. It's like I could suddenly have all these clients one week and then have half the next week because of the ebb and flow of things. So it's very dependent on things. So I'm trying to get to a point where I can get a consistent caseload, and, you know, between private and through my other employer, and have it be so that I can work about 30-32 hours and make more than enough money. So I'm trying to get everything to balance to that point. It's going to be a while, and it'll probably take to the end of the year, but that's what I'm kind of working toward at this point. So, yeah. But yeah, thus far it's still the work, generally speaking, continues to go well. So
that's good. Good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's been good. Just now I have nothing to look forward to. Lindsay's back from Disney. I have nothing to look forward to as far as anything that I'm particularly planning. Anybody who's coming to visit are mostly her friends or parts of her family. I'm not anticipating anybody, so my job to entertain is not there. So the next 4 months until I get to the Netherlands, like I'm just gonna be fucking working. So
yeah I hear you.
Yeah, that's the plan. So that's what I'm up to right now. That's all the things I want the pieces to align.
Gotcha. Makes sense.
Basically, yep, that's it. So but yeah, so that's what I want, and let's go on to our next bit, which is down the rabbit hole.
I got nothing, to tell you the truth. I haven't really done any rabbit holes recently.
To be honest, I'm pretty much the same. I was hoping, you know, while Lindsay was gone, that I would get into things. Like, I would just kind of, like, you know, something that I normally don't do or watch when she's around, I would get into. Nope. It was a pretty straightforward week. Just work, play, sleep, and that's about it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, Brandy's going away next weekend, and I'm only going to have one boy next weekend because the other one is going to be playing a cello concert. So I think my plan is to try and convince the boy's mom to take him back Saturday night. That way I have all day Sunday to kind of just relax. And I think my goal that weekend is to binge The Mandalorian season 3. And that's my goal. It's my hope for myself next weekend. So hopefully we'll see.
Right on. Let's see. So, but I don't have a rabbit hole either. So, so let's talk about a little light reading.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, I'm still reading the same two books, Chapter House Dune, the sixth book in the series. And of course, Return of the King, the final book of the trilogy of the Lord of the Rings, have made minimal progress in both, a couple chapters here and there. Last week was a lot better than previously, but I was just talking with Brandy earlier today that, like, you know, I love reading and I'll get a good weekend where I'll read like maybe 4 out of 5 days during the week, maybe a little bit on the weekend. And then I'll go for like 2 weeks where I don't read shit. So that's why it's taking me so fucking long to read these books. And it's, you know, it's bothering me a little bit. Again, because, you know, I got so many books for my birthday last year. I got the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series I need to read. We're going to be talking about a new show that we started watching in a little bit. Again, that has like a book series that has 3 books in it. That's like, I would love to read that because it's like the show is super cool. So I really want to know the source material, et cetera, et cetera. And all this other shit that I have. I have so many books that I want to read and I just haven't dedicated the time to do it. And I talk about it a lot. I just need to do it. So that's what's holding me back at the moment.
Very cool. Very cool. I haven't read anything except, again, these coursework, whatever reading is required of them and everything. That's what I've been reading at this point. It's kind of more so video work than it is reading, depending on the topic. The psychology one involves a lot of reading. So,
yeah.
Everything else is a little bit more podcast and video, so more visual than reading. But I'm still trying to read through Mad Love, the intro story to Harley Quinn, and see where else I can go from there. Just trying to, again, figure out like what would be the good time for me to read. What time can I put down that I would absolutely decide to read?
Yeah. So, I hear you. Yeah.
How about for your viewing pleasure?
All right. Again, I have a list.
Okay.
We've gone through a lot of stuff in the last 2 weeks. So first off, we watched the new John Mulaney comedy special. Are you familiar with John Mulaney at all?
Yes. I know Lindsay just watched his special. I've seen like bits and pieces of his stuff. He's pretty funny.
Yeah. This one is specifically about, cause he had just recently gone through rehab, and whatnot. So it was very much a story about like his intervention, his time in rehab and stuff like that. It was very funny. The way he tells the story is hilarious. Like I was a big fan of that. We also binged the entirety of season 6 of Better Call Saul, which is the final season of the show. It ended very satisfactorily. I was very happy with the way they ended things. You know, they also tied it into the Breaking Bad series. It was very good. Very good. Just last night we finished watching Waco the Aftermath because the last episode of that came out last night on Friday. That was pretty good. I like Michael Shannon as an actor. Giovanni Ribisi plays a lawyer in it and he's really, really good in it. So I was pretty pleased with that one. Last weekend I took the boys to go see Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. That was great. I really, really liked it. You know, it's a Guardians of the Galaxy movie, so you know you're going to get a lot of the humor, a lot of the banter between the people. You're going to get a killer soundtrack, and you're going to get a pretty decent action movie. And it delivered on all three fronts. The ending was very satisfactory because I believe this is supposed to be the last of the trilogy. You know, apparently... Batista's not coming back as Drax. There's talk about some other characters not necessarily coming back. So, you know, it might be the end of the Guardians of the Galaxy series. But again, James Gunn, he did a great job with his last Marvel project before he goes and heads over to DC and does all those movies. Mm-hmm. So good on him. So the new TV show that we started watching is called Silo. It's a dystopic sci-fi TV show. Very similar to a couple of it has a very similar vibe to a couple of other dystopic things where like the world outside is toxic. We live in one, like all of society lives in this one particular place. This place happens to be a silo that goes down about 144 stories up underground. They do their own agriculture there. They have their own police force, and you know, it's your typical dystopic, authoritarian government. Lots of secrets. No one knows what's going on, like why the silo was built, why we're here, what's going on outside. Mm-hmm. There was a rebellion that happened 140 years prior to the events of the series. That during the rebellion, the rebels burned all of the history, so nobody knows anything about what they call the before times, all that sort of shit. It's everything you want in a dystopic fucking society story. It's really good. It happens to star Tim Robbins is in it. Will Patton's in it. He's the coach from one of the coaches from Remember the Titans. And Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Lady Jessica in the new Dune movies, she's in it. She's the main star. Rashida Jones was in it for an episode, and she was great in her episode. It's on Apple TV Plus. It's in the third episode, just came out this past Friday. I think there's going to be 10 episodes this season, so I'm hoping that's successful. We got a couple more. And again, as I mentioned, it's based on a book, and now I have to go and get another fucking book series to put on the pile. So, you know. And last but not least, just today, Brandy and I went to go see Bo is Afraid, the new A24 Ari Aster movie. Ari Aster, of course, being the director of Midsommar and Hereditary, and this is very much it's an Ari Aster movie for sure. Like there's a lot of visual effects, visual like cues that he follows throughout a lot of his movies. One of them being like close-ups on people's faces for a long time that makes you feel very uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Definitely issues with his mother. That's what that's the core of this movie is the issue with the guy's mother. Mm-hmm. Joaquin Phoenix is really fucking good in this movie. I don't know if you know anything about the movie. Do you know anything about the movie?
No. I saw like the poster for it and stuff. But
all right, it's pretty much a 3-hour anxiety fever dream. This guy has severe anxiety. He's going to go visit his mom, and it's all of like everything that could possibly go wrong goes wrong for this guy throughout the course of him trying to see his mom. And I think the way that the director described it is he described it as the Jewish Lord of the Rings, but all this guy is doing is visiting his mom. So it was very, very good. I enjoyed it. I took away a lot of things about it, mostly about the anxiety that the guy goes through. The worst possible things you can imagine happen to this guy, and that's like just how sometimes my mind works. Like the worst possible outcomes of what is what's going to happen. So
oh, lovely,
yeah. I related to that part of it so fucking much. Mm-hmm. But all in all, I thought it was a great movie. I really like Ari Aster as a filmmaker. I really enjoyed Midsommar. I want to see that again. I want to see the director's cut of that. Hereditary, like I'm not a big horror movie fan, but that movie is fucking freaky as shit. And it might be one of my favorite horror movies I've ever seen. And then this one is kind of like a horrific dark comedy kind of thing. It's pretty fucking fucked up. Mm-hmm. But again, very, very good movie, you know. And well worth the 3-hour sit down in the theater. So,
okay. Anything else you got before I?
No, I think that's it. I forgot. Oh, we went to the library last week and we mm-hmm. rented some movies. And one of the movies that we rented was Jodorowsky's Dune, which is a documentary about Alejandro Jodorowsky, who tried to make Dune back in the 70s, and how his how this dream just kind of fell apart. And like, it was about, it was a documentary about how he put his team together. And that they were, they spent 2 years working on this project. They'd created this, all this artwork, and he got so many people involved. And he had like all, he talked to so many people about characters and who they're going to play. Like just in the art department, he got fucking Giger, H.R. Giger to do some work for him. And then Mobius was another one. Chris Foss was another guy. I think a artist called O'Bannon was involved. And to play some of the characters, he was going to get Mick Jagger to play, he's going to get Mick Jagger to play Faye Rautha, his own son to play Paul. He was going to get Orson Welles to play the Baron Harkonnen. He was going to get fucking Salvador Dali to play the fucking emperor of the fucking universe. And then he had a plan that he was going to make a specific soundscape for each individual houses and like their planets. So like he was going to get like some German avant-garde band to do the Harkonnens. And he was going to get Pink Floyd to do the stuff for House Atreides and stuff like that. It was just this wild shit. Mm-hmm. And it all fucking fell apart because nobody wanted to make this movie. It was just too out there. It was absolutely, just absolutely crazy. But then it the end of the documentary is talking about how this particular project failed, yet it led to so many different other projects. Like the O'Bannon guy went on to write Alien. And mm-hmm. Who else worked on Alien? H.R. Giger, who created the fucking Xenomorph. And then I think Chris Foss was also there involved with Alien. So you got one piece of science fiction, classic science fiction, spawned off of this failed one. And there was other things that, other ideas that he had in his book that he sent out to these studios that were used in other movies. And when you start seeing them, it's like, oh my God, that came from this, this came from that. That's fucking crazy. So it was like this one failed project that spawned so many other things. That's fucking, it was just cool to see. So mm-hmm. that was a very interesting documentary. Very interesting. And we also got Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, because I've never seen that. And we got about 45 minutes into it, and we have to finish it, but we'll see if we actually do that or not.
Right on. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Now I'm done.
Okay. I actually forgot a thing that I had read, but it plays into something that I watched. So we'll go with that. So when Sean was here, he had never seen Peacemaker. So with him, we got through the first six episodes. Lindsay and I finished the last two on our own. And I actually bought the Blu-ray for it, because I want to see if there's any commentaries and stuff.
Oh, cool. Hell yeah.
But around this time, DC has started a brand new Peacemaker comic called Peacemaker Tries Hard. So the first issue came out a week ago, maybe. So I picked it up and I enjoy it already. It's very funny.
Hell yeah.
So I'm looking forward to when that comes out. I think comics are every month at this point. So I read that and that was pretty sweet. Also for your viewing pleasure, like I was supposed to go see, I wanted to go see a bunch of movies while Lindsay was gone. I ended up not seeing anything. But I will talk about one or two things of those pertaining to that in a second. But what we just watched before we started doing the podcast, when we finally watched Venom, because it's on Disney Plus now.
Nice.
And I fucking loved that movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was great.
I love how fucking like disheveled Tom Hardy looks throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty fucking amazing.
I just like the what was that? Oh, I got a parasite.
I'm not a parasite.
So the other things that came out. So I want to see. Obviously, I still want to see the Super Mario Brothers movie. Of course, I want to see that movie. There is Nefarious. I don't know if you've heard of Nefarious.
I heard of it.
Okay, so Sean Patrick Flannery, he's a convict. He's put on death row, and essentially the last day before he's supposed to be put to death, he becomes possessed. And the whole point of the movie is that this person is supposed to, he becomes possessed, and I believe they're trying to make him seem insane. Mm-hmm. And the point of the movie is this person is supposed to prove that he's faking it. And there's supposed to be a lot of really unusual things that happen that, like, the trailer shows a lot of unusual things, but you're not really supposed to know if you until you actually see the movie whether or not he's actually lying or it's true. But it looks really fucking cool. I like Sean Patrick Flannery as an actor, so I really want to see that. And then there's another movie coming out. Should be out this week. It's called Hypnotic. It's a Robert Rodriguez film that stars Ben Affleck.
Yeah, I saw it when we were at the theater today. I saw that it was playing, so yeah.
Yeah, actually, it just came out in theaters yesterday.
There you go.
I really want to see that movie.
Okay.
Yeah. So I saw the trailer for it. I was really stoked, and I was like, okay, I want to see this. There's one or two other things I can't think of right now, but it just seems like a lot of good movies came out lately. I'm not one to go see movies in the theaters, but I'm starting to kind of tend toward, like, maybe once a week we should go. So
I mean, I spend a lot of time at the movies just with the kids because of all the Marvel stuff that's coming out. And yeah. I have a running list going on of what's coming out. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to pull that up right quick. And, like, I think, yes, June is looking stacked because you got the new Spider-Verse movies coming out. I don't know if you ever watched Into the Spider-Verse.
I did. I loved it.
Yeah, the new one's coming out in June, in the beginning of June. Nice. The Flash movie's coming out in June.
That looks so good.
Doesn't it? That looks really good.
That looks so good.
The Transformers next one is coming out. This one involves beasts and stuff like that.
Again, Transformers are just ridiculous, I know, but, like, I still want to fucking see that movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited for it only because I know the boys are going to love it. So we'll do that. And Indiana Jones coming out at the end of June.
Yeah. And that looks pretty good.
Yeah, in July we have Oppenheimer, the new Christopher Nolan flick, which is looking fucking ridiculous. That cast, if you look up that cast, it's absolutely insane.
Oh yeah.
The new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles movies in August.
Yes.
And then November is pretty stacked. You got Dune 2 in the beginning of November. The Marvels comes out the week after, and then the week after that for Thanksgiving is the Hunger Games prequel movie, which is looking pretty sweet. So, again, I'm going to be taking the kids to see a lot of fucking movies this year.
Yeah, it's a pretty good year, I'll say that. So I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's all I've been watching, so. So back to the metal.
Back to the metal. You ready to get into some concert news?
Concert news, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. Festivals. Monsters of Rock Cruise has announced the first bands for its 12th annual voyage. The 5-day, 5-night full ship music charter will set sail March 2nd through the 7th, 2024, and depart out of Miami, Florida. Dubbed the 30 Dozen, next year's voyage will include performances from several dozen artists on multiple stages, stops at two ports, Jamaica and the Bahamas, photo experiences with artists, theme nights, and special events with the world's best rock community. Just don't play basketball and knock them out. So here's the confirmed artists so far. We got Joe Satch, Ace Frehley, The Darkness, KK's Priest, Quiet Riot, Winger, Accept, YNT, Slaughter, Vixen, Faster Pussycat, Armored Saint, and a couple more.
Very cool.
Yeah,
that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, though some of those floating cruise ones sound pretty cool. So I don't know if I'd ever go to one, but they sound cool.
Yeah.
All right. So the full lineup has been announced for Blue Ridge Rock Festival, America's largest rock and camping festival, which takes place September 7th through the 10th, 2023, in Virginia International Raceway in Alton, Virginia. Newly announced artists include Slipknot, Five Finger Death Punch, Stained, Danzig performing his self-titled album in full, I Prevail, Flo Rida, Lorna Shore, Knocked Loose, Polyphia, Insane Clown Posse, Vanilla Ice, Project Pat, and more. The Blue Ridge Rock Festival features performances from more than 150 bands, including the list I just said, plus Pantera, Shinedown, Evanescence, Limp Bizkit, Till Lindemann, which is his exclusive U.S. performance, Megadeth, Papa Roach, Rise Against, Lamb of God, 3 Days Grace, Pierce the Veil, Chevelle, Coheed and Cambria, and many, many more. I had copied and pasted the poster here if you want to take a look at some of these days.
You could have just stopped the Vanilla Ice and I was there.
I had a feeling. Yeah. So this is crazy because they got like 4 or 5 stages going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And oh yeah. So let's just look at this. Thursday, you got on the main stage, I guess this would be the main stage, you got Death Punch, Stain, Coheed, and The Ghost Inside, a couple of ones. The second stage is you got Evanescence, 3 Days Grace, Vince Neil, CKY. Then you got Rise Against, Machine Head, Biohazard, Exodus, Cavalera, Conspiracy, Psycho Stick. And on the last stage here, you got Cypress Hill, Vil Valo, Atreyu, Escape the Fate, Born of Isis, or Osiris, a couple other ones. And then this club one here, the club experience, is that's where you're going to see Flo Rida, Vanilla Ice, and a couple other ones.
Mm-hmm.
That's just Thursday. Friday, Slipknot, Danzig, Flyleaf, Cold Chamber, main stage. Till Lindemann, Motionless in White, Knock Loose, second stage. That logo is a little too small. I can't really see it. Couple on like that. That's like this is like the metal fucking. That's got to be the metal stage because all the metal guys are there on that one. Polyphia, Sleep Token, Tech Nine, a bunch of other ones on the last stage. That's Friday. Saturday, Shinedown, Papa Roach, and Beartooth on the main stage. Megadeth, Parkway Drive, Asking Alexandria, and Taproot, the second stage. I Prevail, Black Label Society, Static X, Death Angel, Dope, Veil of Maya on another stage, and then the U, Spirit Box, and a bunch of other ones on the last stage. And then Sunday, the last day, Pantera, Lamb of God, Corey Taylor, and Avatar, main stage. With Cold, Jesus Christ, Limp Bizkit, Chevelle, Bad Omens on another stage. Baby Metal, Death Clock, Ginger, Suicidal Tendencies, Attila, Emure, and a bunch of other ones on the next stage and the last stage. Pierce the Veil, Sirens, Census Fail, etc., etc., etc. This is a fucking huge, huge fucking show. Crazy.
It seems like it, and I'd be about it.
I love the fact that there's so many reunions and special performances that they have to put an asterisk next to some of these fucking next to some of these bands. That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
All right. But that's it for the Blue Ridge Rock Fest. But then we have the dynamic music lineup for Shiprocked 2024 will be led by I Prevail and will also feature Killswitch Engage, Beartooth, Highly Suspect, Code Orange, Badflower, a special solo performance from Johnny Stevens of Highly Suspect, and more. February 4th through the 10th, 2024, on board Carnival Magic. The 14th sailing of Shiprock departs from Miami, Florida, stopping in 3 ports for the ultimate rock music cruise vacation, Bimini, the Bahamas, and Ocho Rios, Jamaica, and Grand Cayman. Badass.
That's cool.
And that's it for festival news, especially these floating ones.
Yeah. Okay, that's fun.
Let's get into some touring news. All right, Metal Church will embark on a U.S. tour in June. They will be hitting the road in support of their 13th studio album, Congregation of Annihilation, which will arrive on May 26th via Rat Pack Records in America and Reaper Entertainment in Europe.
Of course, certain someone has that pre-ordered.
Nice. Power Man 5000 will embark on the Devil in the Dark U.S. tour this summer with support from Julian Kay and Priest.
Of course, someone's going to be going to that.
Well, hopefully it's close because I only put San Antonio dates if they're in here. So
yeah, if they come to Austin, that's fine. Maybe Houston. I don't know. We'll see.
But yeah. All right. Hearts Ann Wilson and her backing band Trip Sitter, will embark on a U.S. tour this summer. Joining Ann in the group are Ryan O'Wainer on lead guitar, Tony Lucio on bass, Paul Mowick on guitar and keyboards, and Sean Lane on drums.
Cool.
Aerosmith have announced Peace Out with special guest The Black Crowes. Fans will see one of the most significant American rock bands in history one last time during this not-to-be-missed final tour. Every night, we'll celebrate the five decades of Aerosmith's groundbreaking hits as they celebrate 50 years as America's greatest rock band. In addition, THX will bring their THX-certified live high-fidelity experience on the road, calibrating each arena with leading-edge technology so fans don't miss a beat of Aerosmith's classic rock tunes in quality audio. San Antonio date, November 1st at the AT&T Center.
That's a maybe.
It's a consideration, but it's like a Wednesday.
Yeah, but also it's probably going to be expensive. I saw like there were like bar seat tickets at a venue for $400. I'm like,
yeah,
you can kiss my ass,
right?
Put me on a bar stool for $400.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly uncomfortable and expensive.
Yeah,
way too much. Nina Strauss will embark on a solo tour in late spring. The Summer Storm Trek will kick off on June 13th in Nashville and wrap up on July 14th in New Orleans. Support on the tour will come from Lost Lions at the Gate, the new band featuring former El Nino members Christian Machado on vocals, Aru Luster Illustri on guitar, and Diego Verduzco on guitar, alongside bassist Stephen Brewer, who is in Westfield Massacre, and drummer Fern Loomis. San Antonio date, July 11th at the Rock Box.
Woot. That sounds pretty cool.
Shinedown has announced the summer fall leg of the Revolutions Tour, co-produced by Live Nation and FPC Live, with support from Papa Roach and Spirit Box. The 26th date trek launches on September 3rd in St. Louis, Missouri, and wraps on October 20th in Denver, Colorado. San Antonio date, October 9th at the Freeman Coliseum.
That sounds like a pass.
Lamb of God will hit the road this summer for a 2023 headline tour featuring special guests Ice Nine Kills, Suicide Silence, The Acacia Strain, Frozen Soul, and more across select dates. Produced by Live Nation, the 8th City Trek kicks off on August 10th at the Wellmont in Montclair, making stops across the U.S. in St. Louis, Oklahoma, Las Vegas, and Riverside.
Oh, there's only 8 cities. Probably not coming here, but
no, it's not. We just saw them too.
Yeah, I would like to see Ice Nine Kills and Suicide Silence.
True, true. I think Ice Nine Kills might be one of the opening bands for Metallica. Yes. So yes, when are. I go see them, yeah. All right, Judas Priest will embark on our tour of the United Kingdom and Ireland in March 2024. Support on the trek will come from fellow metal veterans Saxon and Uriah Heep.
Very cool. I'd see that.
Yngwie Malmsteen and Glenn Hughes will embark on a tour of the U.S. this summer. Malmsteen will perform his greatest hits while Hughes will play a set of classic Deep Purple songs celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Burn album. San Antonio date, September 2nd at the Tobin Center.
Nice.
Yeah. Flotsam and Jetsam have been forced to cancel their previously announced European tour dates. They released a statement via social media. It is with great disappointment that we need to cancel our June European shows. We hope our fans will understand and support us in this. Unfortunately, the costs associated with touring have doubled and in some cases tripled. As is common with many U.S. bands who have had to cancel touring plans overseas, we too are not immune to the higher costs that have been such a problem. Doing this would have left us with a considerable loss, which we cannot sustain. And for that reason, we regrettably canceled these dates. We hope to see all of our European fans as soon as it is feasible.
Fucking money.
Fucking money.
It's killing the music business.
Right? Joey DeMeo, the charismatic leader of iconic metal band Manowar, is taking to the stage with his Words of Power Spoken Word Tour 2023. A gifted storyteller, DeMeo delivers thought-provoking, honest, and fun entertainment, always with a motivational takeaway for his audience.
Just pull up a picture of a Manowar cover. He's like, see that? That is the peak male.
What you gotta do is you gotta get the abs airbrushed on you and then get the oils, right?
See, can you count how many abs this guy has? No, because it's too fucking many.
Too fucking many.
Too fucking many.
You know, you go come to a normal man, you have a 50-50 chance. But I'm a man of war. and I'm not man, and I'm not human. Oh, Scott Steiner, we love you.
Yeah.
All right, so here we had talked about this a little bit earlier. Original Saliva singer Josie Scott has announced a series of live performances this spring, under spring, summer, and fall, under the banner Josie Scott's Saliva. While okay. Saliva is still a band.
So we're just kind of getting Josie Scott's bit.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, pretty much.
Mm, great, great. That's that looks great on a ticket.
Yeah. Josie Scott's Saliva is spitting on you. All right. That's it. No one-offs. So that's about it for concert news. Have you seen a show lately?
I doubt it.
Yeah, neither have I. Neither have I. The only thing I have coming up is that Dream Theater show in June, which I'm fucking super pumped for.
Mm-hmm.
So are you ready to get into the charts?
Let's do it.
All right. So we know the deal. We're looking for anything heavy metal related, rock related. And we also keep track of Taylor Swift records because watch our 10-word review and you know why.
Mm-hmm.
Dan also likes to know who the top five are and who Mr. Irrelevant is at number 200. And with that preamble out of the way, are you ready? Number one, One Thing at a Time by Morgan Wallen. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Number two is a new album by 17. It's called 17 10th Mini. I'm going to assume it's album because it's dot, dot, dot. The screen's not big enough for it. At number three is Midnights by Miss Taylor Swift. So that's her first album on the top 200. Number four is SOS by SZA. And number five is Dangerous, the double album by Morgan Wallen. And now we start moving.
Okay, so while you're scrolling, I gotta tell you about this meme I just kind of came up across on Instagram. All right,
go for it, because at number 10 is Lover by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her second record in the top 10.
Okay, because this might distract you. So it's one of those, like, I have to go to sleep and then I come up with random thought memes.
All right, go for it, because like they're coming up quick. So go for it.
Go ahead, keep going.
Okay. All right, number 16 is Folklore by Miss Taylor Swift. So that is her third record. At number 20 is 1989 by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her fourth record in the top 20 of the top 200. At 23 is Reputation, followed by 24, Red Taylor's Version. That is their sixth and seventh records in the top 200. And we're going to keep on moving. At number 28 is a new album from the Grateful Dead. This is Dave's Picks, Volume 46.
Jesus Christ. Fucking
you know it. Hey, Evermore. Number 31, Miss Taylor Swift. That is her eighth record. Eighth record. At number 33 is Elton John's Diamonds. At number 35 is Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. Queen's Greatest Hits is at number 38.
So the thought that he has is, wait a minute, how come I've never seen in my life a microwave commercial?
Oh, I fucking know. It's wild.
Oh, right?
It's wild. Because you see like refrigerator commercials, you see like washer dryer combo commercials and stuff like that, but never a microwave commercial. Very good point.
That's weird.
I may have miscounted. We may have been only at seven Taylor Swift records. But anyway, at number 48 is 72 Seasons by Metallica, still up in the top 50. At number 50 is Fearless, Taylor's Version by Miss Taylor Swift. That's her eighth record, I'm assuming. That didn't miscount. 52 is Creedence Clearwater Revival, The Greatest Hits. At 55 is Meteora by Linkin Park. At number 58 is Speak Now by Miss Taylor Swift. That is her ninth record in the top fucking 60 of the top 200. And also, she just announced recently that her version of Speak Now is going to be coming out soon.
Cool.
Yeah.
So there'll be another one.
Yep. All right, so now we really are scrolling. So we got all nine of our Taylor Swift records out. We got Metallica, the new run out there. Let's get moving. Let's get moving. Here we go. Yeah, this is where you could have told me about the meme. Bob Marley and the Wailers at number 83 with The Legend. Journey's Greatest Hits at number 88. I don't know who Gordon Lightfoot is, but
I know the name.
He's a re-entry, number 95. Gord's Gold. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Greatest Hits at number 97. Guns N' Roses, Greatest Hits at number 103. Nevermind by the Nirvana is at number 107. Thriller by Michael Jackson at number 112, and is a re-entry at 113, is The Essential Michael Jackson. And we keep on moving here. The Essential Foo Fighters at number 122. The all-time greatest hits of Lynyrd Skynyrd at number 123. Nickelback, bullshit. Bad Bunny's on here a bunch. If you haven't, if you didn't get a chance to watch WrestleMania Backlash, you get a chance to watch Bad Bunny beat the crap out of Damian Priest.
Yeah, that was a good match. That was actually, the whole show was good except for the Omos match.
I mean, come on. Not even Seth Rollins can make that guy good. Please.
Yeah.
Greatest Hits by Bob Seger, Silver Bullet Band at 141. All right, we're going to keep moving here. Oh, my God, this is getting boring. Greatest Hits by Bon Jovi's at number 163. Metallica's Black Album was at number 166. What else we got here? Elvis Presley, number 30, number one hits. Is a re-entry at number 172. At 173, got Greatest Hits by Fleetwood Mac. We're almost there. Billy Joel, The Essential Billy Joel, is at number 184 as a re-entry. Bouncing back. Speaking of back, we're back in black, baby. At 188, AC/DC. 189, the greatest hits of the Eagles. And we're almost there. The Sounds of Summer, the best of the Beach Boys at 194. And Mr. Irrelevant is Tim McGraw, number one hits.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's that one.
Yeah. Okay, well, again, never very exciting, but Metallica's still up there. Taylor Swift has a bunch, so.
Yeah, and Taylor Swift is all around in the top 60. Metallica's still in the top 50, which is pretty solid for a, like, three-week release, so good on them.
Yeah, pretty good. I can't complain. I can't complain about much of the news we've gotten today. I haven't had to sit here and give shit about people like Motley Crue or anything like that. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, there's minor mention of Ted Nugent and, you know, brief skimming of Kid Rock being in part of Dolly Parton's thing. But, you know, it sounds like things have been pretty okay the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah.
The world is at ease.
For a second, like don't get too comfortable.
Yeah, we're gonna sign off, and suddenly the world is fucked.
That's usually what happens. Like I swear to God, like the last couple of times we sign off, like the next day there's an obituary. Like, well, fuck.
Yeah, yeah. Hopefully it doesn't happen like that, but either way, next time we will have a discussion though. So.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool.
I'm just saying I'm gonna find one, but we will have a discussion next time because you know, we didn't get to have much one last time, and today I didn't come prepared. So.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
So, but next time we will have a discussion, and we're gonna work a little bit more on what we discuss as far as, you know, what kind of cool shit we can. I'll come up with some cool topics because we still have to do that album on blast thing for Rainbow.
Yeah, I think we only done one album on blast, so.
And it was a good one.
It was. I mean, we always tried these things out on Metallica, and the Blacklist was dope.
Yeah, it was. Anyway, you got anything else before we wrap things up?
No, Warrior does need food badly, though.
Okay, so then we're going to wrap things up at this time because Warrior needs food and Elf, well, who knows what the fuck. I'm sorry, Wizard. I'm a wizard. Wizard.
I'm a wizard.
Motherfucking a wizard. Wizard doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, so we'll see. But until that point, and until next time, I'm Dan Mack.
And I'm Chris Mack.
And we are The Slime.